Okay, thank you. I believe we have all the board members present. I'm the board chair, Sonny Papowski. Vice chair, Tony Ewing is on. And also the members, our other members, Abby Pazewski and Mac Williams. First, I'd like to, well, I guess I should call the meeting to order, meeting of the Philadelphia Water, Sewer, and Stormwater Rate Board. This is our regular monthly meeting. Let me just start by welcoming our official new member, Mac Williams. Mac, as the other board members know, has had a distinguished career in public and private finance. And it's a great honor to have him join our board and to provide some of his expertise to us as we address these important issues for the city of Philadelphia.
Welcome, Mac.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes, welcome, Mac. Good to see you.
Tony, good to see you. I look forward to learning from my colleagues.
Great. And for those of you who don't know, Rashea Johnson has left the board. She resigned from the board after, I believe, so on March 14th. And I want to publicly thank Rashea for her 5 years of service to the board, and for her and for the other outstanding service that she provided to the city of Philadelphia over many years. So the first order of business, do we have a couple of procedural matters. First is the approval of minutes for the March 9, 2022 meeting. Those minutes have previously been distributed to the board members by Stephen. Can I ask if there are any, ask the board members if there are any additions or corrections to the minutes of March 9th? Can I therefore ask for a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Okay, Tony moves to approve the minutes. Abby seconds. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I'll have to abstain, Sonny, since I wasn't an official member at the last meeting.
Certainly. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. So that would be 3-0 with one abstention. We also now have a vacancy among our officers. I'm the, as I said, I'm the chair. Tony is the vice chair. Rashea had been serving as secretary. And I would like to ask if anyone would like to nominate a new secretary.
I would formally like to nominate Abby Pazewski as secretary of the board, please.
Okay. Could I get a second on that? Mac, would you second that motion? Since
I will second that motion.
Yeah, I'd rather. I think Abby's a little. I said just anyway. Any discussion, including by Abby, on this vote?
I am, of course, honored.
Okay. I'll ask for a vote then. All in favor of electing Abby Pazewski as the new secretary of the Water, Sewer, and Stormwater Rate Board, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, then the ayes have it, 4-0. Abby, thank you for taking this on. Okay. Before we turn to substantive matters, I would open the meeting because we are going to be discussing and voting, possibly voting on substantive matters. I will open the meeting now to members of the public. If anyone has any comments, comments on the matters that are on our agenda, which include the discussion and possible vote on the direct appeal of Lance Haver to remove the public advocate. We have had a number of written comments filed with the board, but if anyone has any brief additional oral comments, you can make them at this time. Mr. Haver, I see your hand is up, so please go ahead.
So here are the facts. The hearing examiner ruled that the public advocate is serving in that position as part of the settlement agreement. The awarding of the contract was therefore an inducement given to the public advocate as part of the settlement. The public advocate nor his law firm have ever filed financial disclosure forms or conflict of interest statements. The management team of the public advocate's law firm also represents U.S. Bank or a major stockholder of U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank does significant business with the Philadelphia Water Department. The public advocate has, at the very least, the appearance of having had his law firm be given a no-bid contract. And make it very clear, there was no bidding that went on. He was given a no-bid contract as a result of the public advocate agreeing to not one but two rate increases. The public advocate and his law firm have failed to disclose their financial interests. The public advocate law firm has failed to disclose its conflict of interest. The public advocate has failed to engage the public in any meaningful way, as can be seen by the lack of public participation in the last two public hearings. The public advocate should be removed for a cause. The public deserves to be represented by someone who will engage the public, not by someone who is given a no-bid contract as an inducement to agree to a settlement.
Thank you, Mr. Haver. Does anyone else on the call wish to make any comments on this issue before we discuss it among the board?
Hi, Contasia Scott on behalf of the public advocate. I'd like to make a brief comment.
Certainly, go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Contasia Scott. I'm appearing here on behalf of the public advocate. As you know, Mr. Ballinger is on a long overdue vacation with his family, as public schools are on spring break this week. I spoke with him before he left, and we agreed to provide a short statement in response to Mr. Haver's assertions. Please note that our written response to his submission, which he describes as a direct appeal, was provided on Friday. I won't focus on our written response here, but will address certain other claims Mr. Haver has recently made. Regarding financial disclosures, CLS attorneys serving as public advocate are not required to make such disclosures. However, Mr. Ballinger nor I are direct owners of any stock in U.S. Bancorp. To the extent either of us have any direct interest in the outcome of the proceedings, it is solely as customers or users of the utility. Neither of us possess any sort of conflict of interest. Regarding CLS's diverse board of directors, Mr. Haver fails to recognize that our board members who serve without compensation and who contribute their time and abilities to help CLS accomplish its mission, which is to fight poverty, challenge systems that perpetuate injustice, and challenge lives through cutting-edge advocacy and exceptional legal representation. Mr. Haver sometimes refers to our board chair as our president or our managing partner or a member of our management team. None of these things are true. He has no influence over our work. The positions that we take as public advocate are for the benefit and interests of small users that we represent. Finally, Mr. Haver has repeatedly expressed his concerns about the Water Department's reserves being held by U.S. Bank. That's not an issue that the Water Rate Board or even the Water Department can address, since the decision of where to deposit these funds is made by the City Treasurer with City Council authorization. We're going to continue to focus on the things that the Rate Board and the Water Department can do here and not on the distractions. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any comments before we begin our discussion?
Sonny, Andre Desant for Philadelphia Water Department. We provided written responses to the appeal, and our position is sort of made plain. It's very simple. We don't see a quid pro quo. Mr. Ballinger and Ms. Scott are salaried employees at CLS. We do see, though, years, decades of service by CLS in serving as public advocate in this forum and other forum. And we don't see in that particular interest, in that context, a conflict. Quite the contrary, they serve on appeals, which we don't necessarily want, incidentally, that deal with issues before Commonwealth Court, before Common Pleas Court, and no compensation to them. They receive no additional compensation for their involvement in this case or any other case. There is a procurement process that applies to hiring any lawyers that serve in their capacity or in any other capacity around the table. And it's a process that's rigorous. It doesn't let anyone in the door. It looks very carefully at whether you are capable, whether you have years of service, and all the criteria that they've met for over 30 years. I've been here longer than that. They've sat across the table, whether it's the person of Phil Bertacci or Steve Hershey or any of the other folks that have served at CLS. Now, I have a little bias because I worked over there. But when I started work in the mid-70s, I think it was $10,500. I know their salaries are better now, but not so much better. And I'm suggesting to you that if there's any incentive to do less, I could see it. If there's incentive to do more, I don't see it at all because their salary does not change. And with that, I just indicate that we've sunk to a level now where we go after each other personally. And it's sort of repugnant if you served in this capacity. I've represented the Water Department since 1980. Well, never seen it before. And these sorts of ad hominem attacks should stop. And that's all we have.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else we haven't yet heard from before we begin our discussion? Okay, I'd like to start by calling on our counsel, Dan Cantu-Hertzler, regarding just to clarify how the contracting process works and has worked in this proceeding. With respect to the, how the contracting process works. Dan, can you describe that, please?
Yes. So under the anti-pay-to-play ordinance, which is now Chapter 17-1400 of the Philadelphia Code, generally professional services contracts that aren't awarded to the low bidder do have to be posted on the city's website, which is eContract Philly, for at least 14 days and open to all comers. This was done with the public advocate and the other two rate board contractors in October of 2019. And the board, or Mr. Popowski for the board, considered all of the proposals for each of the positions. And made decisions. They were authorized by the board. And the board entered into contracts for all three beginning on December 2nd, 2019, for one-year contracts with the right of the board to renew for a year at a time each. The board authorized the renewal of those contracts, and they were renewed in December of 2020 and again in December of 2021. If the board so wishes, it can renew any or all of those one more time in December of this year for the following year. The contracts do require that the providers declare that they have no adverse interests and that they will disclose any adverse interests that they do have. I believe that none of them has disclosed any. CLS in its application did mention that it represents individuals in some related matters. I think it provides legal representation to some people who may be suing the Water Department or bringing claims against the Water Department. And it argued that this is not a conflict of interest, but it actually helps them serve the the purpose of the public advocate, which is to make sure that the rate board fully understands the interests of small users in making its rate decisions. Anyway, that's the basics. I don't know if that's if there's anything more you'd like, Sonny, or other board members.
Do any of the board members have any questions? You may recall, and let me just remind the board members, because this issue did come up at our public meetings. The board voted to authorize the chairman and the council to enter into these contracts initially at our meeting of November 13th, 2019, the minutes of which are on our website. We renewed the contract. Under the contracts, we were permitted, as Dan said, to extend the contracts for 1 year at a time for up to three additional years at our discretion. And we voted to do that on October 14th, 2020. And then again, most relevant here, at our meeting of August 11th, 2021, again, the minutes of which are available on our website. We decided to extend the contracts of our three contractors, the public advocate, the hearing examiner, and our technical consultant. So with respect to that issue, do any of the board members have any questions or comments?
So just for clarity, with respect to Dan's comments, I'll say the rules of engagement are explicit. They were followed. I recall empowering our chairman to do the legwork and administrative work of reviewing the bids and the like. Other than that, there was no route taken that deviated from the stipulated rules and compliance with respect to our consultants, public advocate, hearing officer, and the like. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe that the board followed all the legal procedures correctly. I should say too that the rate determination last spring, in June, that was not appealed, did provide that there would be a public advocate in the special rate proceeding. It did not require that public advocate be CLS, and the board could have decided to retain a different public advocate.
But we opted to stick with CLS.
That's right.
For that. I remember. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
So, and just to reassure you, Tony, because I remember those board discussions and I've been over all of the board meeting minutes and I used to do a lot of procurement law for the city of Philadelphia. And I'm really very satisfied that everything that we did was totally within the bounds of the prescribed procedures.
To
echo Dan, who clearly is our counsel.
Yep. Very good. Thank you.
And on the second, any other comments from the board members? On the second question of whether the contract was a quid pro quo, we actually addressed that issue in our final rate determination in the last rate proceeding, and we rejected that. We rejected that argument, and there were no appeals taken from that decision. But in any case, in the last proceeding, the settlement was between the public advocate and the water department. The water department does not hire the public advocate. The board hires the public advocate. And they agreed that there would be a public advocate special rate proceeding, which, as we said in our order last time, was probably a good idea, because under our regulations, while we are required to have a public advocate in general rate proceedings, we are not required to have a public advocate in special rate proceedings like the TAP-R proceeding. So the department and the public advocate agreed, and we adopted that agreement that there should be a public advocate. We noted that while we already had a contract at that time with Community Legal Services, we were permitted but not obligated to continue with Community Legal Services in the next proceeding. Certainly the contract is with Community Legal Services, not with Mr. Ballinger. But then in our August meeting of 2021, the board authorized the chairman and the council to renew that contract for an additional year. I think that goes to the question of whether this was a quid pro quo, which again, we ruled it was not in the last proceeding. And finally, I would ask Dan to comment again on the issue of the necessity for our contractors to file financial disclosure statements. To my knowledge, that had never occurred under the prior proceedings of the Water Commission. When the Water Commissioner was in charge, I believe they also hired public advocate and hearing examiners. I'm not aware that there were requirements for filing of financial statements. But Dan, would you advise the board on what steps you've taken to try to address this issue?
So yes, again, as you said, I'm not aware that prior public advocates, or for that matter, hearing officers or technical consultants, have ever filed financial disclosure statements under either the state law or the city ordinance. Normally that applies to people either that are city employees or are elected officers or are appointed as board members. All of the board members do file. It is an interesting question, and I have consulted with some people and have filed a request with the Board of Ethics to determine whether any or all of the board's professional services contractors should be filing financial disclosure statements. We expect to get a ruling from the Board of Ethics probably sometime next month. Don't know exactly. It's up to the board when they take that, but we'll obviously follow that.
Okay.
As I mentioned earlier, our contracts already require them to disclose to the board, which are at least to Sunny, any adverse interests of themselves or their partners or their families. And I do not believe that there have been any such disclosures, or there's any reason to think that there are any, but that requirement is there.
Okay, do any of the board members have any other questions of Dan, or any other comments you'd like to make on this appeal? Yeah, Abby?
Yeah, I'm actually going to add my voice to Andre's, because my starting salary at Camden Regional Legal Services was also $10,500. And I remember this distinctly because it was just about half of what I was making at the law firm that I was employed by. And I had a long conversation with my father about what an idiot I was. It was a searing conversation. So the idea that somehow legal services attorneys have been, you know, are motivated by financial gain when they're salaried employees, and usually fairly low salaried employees at that, you know, seems to me from my own personal experience to be pretty silly. This proceeding has been marred by a level of discourse that I find quite simply unacceptable. The repeated baseless ad hominem attacks on both the public advocate and the ALJ have been especially disturbing. Mr. Ballinger, a longtime advocate for the underserved, has zealously and successfully represented his client with absolute loyalty to the public trust. Judge Chestnut, a distinguished and well-respected jurist with over 25 years of PUC experience, has presided over these very unnecessarily contentious proceedings with extraordinary patience, with dignity, and with skill. The integrity and professionalism of both of them should be beyond question, but it has not been. Other participants in this proceeding have also been the target of insulting and groundless charges. I very much hope that these exchanges will not have a chilling effect on the willingness of good people to continue in their path of public service. I'm really asking for all involved to commit to a more constructive, respectful, and civil course for future water rate proceedings and for this one.
Thank you. Do any of the other board members have any further comments before we vote on this matter?
No. Let me just say no prepared comments other than I will echo that I have witnessed in my time on the board only dogged persistence on the part of Community Legal Services and all of their representatives in advocating for the public as they are charged to do. I have seen nothing but professional conduct by our hearing officer and productive and professional data, objective data being used by our technical consultants as they might be. So I suppose I'm simply echoing the sentiment that was previously stated based on my observations and experience. Nothing about these allegations to me ring true. And I applaud the efforts of all of our contractors in our processes over the last several years since I've been a part of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Any other board comments? Before calling for a vote, I would just like to add my personal comments. I previously, at our last year, spoke that I certainly thought that Community Legal Services, not just Mr. Ballinger, but all of the counsel and experts that they have provided have been provided extremely zealous representation of Philadelphia small water users. And I would reiterate that now, but I also wanted to comment on the hearing officer, whom I've also known for many years, and who is, as Ms. Pozefsky noted, has some 25 years of experience, one of the most highly respected, most experienced, most diligent folks that worked at the PUC, dedicating her entire, most of her career to public service. And we were, in my opinion, extraordinarily fortunate to obtain her services for this series of rate proceedings over the last 3 years. I just think that she is a person above reproach. And I would just close with that we should go ahead and vote on the merits of Mr. Haver's appeal. But I would recognize that we have been fortunate in the service we have received from our contractors in this proceeding. So unless there are other further comments by the board members, I would call for a vote on whether to grant or deny Mr. Haver's appeal. I would vote to deny the appeal. Mr. Ewing?
Deny.
Ms. Pozefsky?
Deny.
Mr. Williams? You're muted. You're muted.
I have to abstain because I wasn't at any of the prior meetings.
Okay, thank you. Stephen, please record the vote as 3-0 with one abstention. Thank you. We have one other matter on our agenda. That was to ask Ms. Chestnut for a just a procedural update on the two rate proceedings that are currently pending over which you are presiding.
First, let me express my appreciation for the confidence that you've shown in me. But as you say, Sonny, my entire career has been as a public employee. 25 of those 45 years were as an ALJ. So I'm used to taking people disagreeing with actions that I've taken, decisions that I've made. And that's always been a part of the job. But it really shouldn't be on a personal level. You can challenge my competency, but really my integrity, unless you have something to base that on, you shouldn't make those kind of allegations. As a public employee, I have decades of financial interest statements. I've complied with everything I've been asked to do. And if the ethics board wants me to file a financial interest statement in connection with my worker, I'm more than happy to do that. So I guess my hope is that we not get distracted by these and focus on the issues that are presented in these two cases. Speaking of which, as you know, there are two separate proceedings. Both, one is the annual TAP-R reconciliation proceeding. That's proceeding according to schedule. We've had all the hearings are complete, the testimony is complete, and I guess the next action would be the receipt of briefs or possibly a settlement petition on April 22nd. So that's really where that is. And I'm hopeful that the department and the public advocate can come to an agreement because there's really one issue, only one issue on which they do have a difference. And I think they could possibly work that out, especially since it's reconcilable next year. But that's where we are with that. The other proceeding, which arose out of the last rape case, as discussed in the rape board's June 16th, 2021 order, has to do with potential downward reductions to the rates that will take effect, that have been approved to take effect in September of 2021. That also is proceeding according to schedule, but the schedule is just a little bit behind the other case. We've had public hearings. We've had a round of testimony. At this point, the next action item would be the submission of rebuttal testimony and the holding of a technical hearing. That's scheduled for April 26th, and if additional days are required, it would be April 27th and 28th. And after that, the same, the opportunity to file briefs or to engage in settlement discussions and will result in my hearing report, hopefully before the end of May. So that's where we are. These are both very narrow. These are both not general cases. They are very narrow in scope. And I have been trying to conduct them that way.
Okay, thank you. Do any of the board members have any questions regarding the procedures that Ms. Chestnut's following? That concludes our written agenda. Are there any other matters to be brought before the? I'm sorry. Just a reminder, we are still on schedule for decisions in this proceeding, for us to vote on June 8th on any outstanding issues, and. Then to vote on June 15th on any final order. That is our, we're still on schedule for that. We do have a meeting scheduled in May We may or may not need to have that meeting. We'll see what issues, if there are any issues that are before the board that we have to look at before the close of the record or the filing of briefs and presentation to the board at our June 8th meeting. Are there any other matters to be brought before the board at this time? See, Mr. Haver, your hand is up.
Yes. To the extent that Ms. Pesky was addressing her comments to me, I want to make it clear. I will continue to do what I have been doing. I do not consider them personal attacks. Personal attack would be suggesting that someone's not smart enough to understand what I'm saying. Pointing out that someone has not filed a financial disclosure form is not a personal attack. It is an accurate, truthful statement. Saying they should is my opinion. Same thing for a conflict of interest. Saying someone has not filed a conflict of interest statement is not a personal attack. It is simply a statement of truth, and saying someone should is my opinion. And finally, as far as I am concerned, until the public advocate engages the public by establishing an advisory committee made up of working people, community groups, religious groups, labor groups, they are not representing the public. It is a very easy thing for them to do. They are choosing not to do it. And for that reason, and that reason alone, I will not stop.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Haver. Are there any other matters to be brought before the board before we adjourn the meeting? Thank you. Can I get a motion then to just check? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by Abby, seconded by Tony. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much. And we will either meet again in May or or in June. And our meetings and agendas, of course, will be posted on the website. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.